It's time now for KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30, bringing you interviews and information regarding local nonprofit events and city and county services from Aspen to Rifle. Once again, it's Gabe from the KMTS Morning Show talking theater today. Sopris Theater Company presents three viewings directed by Brad Moore. We've got all three of the cast members with us today, which might be a first. I'm not sure about that. Mike Monroney, Wendy Perkins, and Paige Ulmer all star in three viewings. It's another virtual performance. Tell you how you can get tickets and learning from the previous virtual performance, there will be things a little bit different this time around. Brad, you know, the first one, how many cast members did you have back in November? Was it seven?
We had nine, actually.
Nine, yeah. Okay, I knew it was an odd number.
And an odd cast, but whoops.
Well, it is theater, you know.
It is theater, yeah. No, it was actually, it was a wonderful cast and a really fun experience for us. It was a brand new show called Rogues Gallery, and so that was nine monologues, and this is similar in that it's all monologues, but there are just three. So instead of people looking at 3 to 5 to actually up to 15-minute monologues, this is a cast that's doing about a half an hour each.
And because of the number of cast members you had before, you actually had to record in advance. And then when you premiered the show, it was at a certain time, and so people watched it that way. With just three members of the cast, are you able to actually have them do the show live?
No, we recorded the show on Friday. And we're in the midst of editing it now. We didn't want to take the chance of not being able to have anybody in the theater. And also, it's an awful lot of work to do the show live when you've got two or three people sitting out in the seats. It's just, you know, we just don't know what's going on. And as we were getting closer to opening the show, it was really pretty clear that, you know, things were shutting back down again. So it was like, uh-oh. So we made a real clear decision relatively early on that we were going to do this the same way we did Rogues Gallery, which is scheduled content. So we've recorded it and we're editing it together, and then it will play during those specific times. And I, you know, even though things are starting to loosen up a little bit, we're still not in a place where it's comfortable for everybody to start doing that again. So that's where we are. You know, it's what I've been telling everybody is it's not live theater and it's not film. It is an opportunity for audiences to watch us explore our craft. It's been such a joy to work in this manner. You know, basically what we've done is we've done a lot of table work. We've been able to sit and really just dissect the script and the characters and really just dig so deeply into the playwright's intentions. And it's been an exciting process, I think. And sort of the silver lining for me is that I know that I want to take some of this on to, even once we get back to live theater and being able to do performing in front of an audience, I want to be able to spend a lot of time really just exploring the characters and the script, just plucking apart every syllable and making sure that we're doing what we want and what we can to the interpretation of the playwright's work.
You mentioned the Rogues Gallery is a fairly new script. What's the story behind Three Viewings?
Three Viewings actually was written in 1994, so it's been around for a while. We're setting it in 1997 because we think that's the right time for all of this to take place. there are some things that just cannot be contemporary about it, like continual references to answering machines. you can't do it without an answering machine. So anyway, but yeah, it's been around for a while. I've seen some people do parts of the script in the past, and it's a brilliantly written piece of theater. It really is just so engaging and so deep.
The first thing I thought of when I saw the title, and by the way, it's written by Jeffrey Hatcher. First thing I thought of, I saw three viewings. I was thinking, okay, what kind of viewings are we talking about? And the first thing I thought of is, well, somebody died. And, you know, you go in and you say your final goodbyes and that kind of thing. But what are the viewings that we're talking about?
Well, you're right, Gabe.
Yep. Yeah, you're right.
You got it.
Did die.
Yeah.
But
yeah, there are three different settings in a funeral home in the Midwest. We, after some work, have realized that Jeffrey Hatcher placed this in his hometown of Steubenville, Ohio. So yeah, you get a chance to see three different viewings. And I'll let the cast explain what some of that is. Like, maybe we should start with the funeral director.
All right. So interestingly enough, Gabe, I actually do play the funeral director. His name is Emil, and all three of the scenes, which are self-contained, have through lines that are connected by the funeral home, by the people of the community, and by very specific funerals. There are five, well, I'm doing it like I'm showing it because nobody can see this because it's on the radio. Funerals that take place just during my piece over a course of 11 months, basically. And actually the frequency of the funerals is directly linked to the plot points in my piece. But so you learn some of the community members, you learn who's living, who's dying, some of the relationships, and they're all set up by my piece and then expanded upon in the following two pieces after that, usually in more detail about one specific funeral. So it's brilliantly organized. Hatcher did a great job of laying the groundwork, sort of exploring this community and then letting it be filled out by the other characters as we learn more about them.
And Brad did say three monologues. So each of you have a monologue and you don't interact with each other throughout the course of the show. I think the press release says the only time that you're together on stage is for the final curtain call.
We didn't film a curtain call, did we?
We didn't.
We forgot.
No, we're going to edit that in.
A Zoom curtain call.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
As we like to say, you can just fix it in post, right?
Yeah.
There are three separate stories. You know, each of the character has his or her own story.
And how they relate to the different funerals that are going on, Wendy?
Well, they relate in that, you know, like my character's husband dies and Mike makes reference, or Emil makes reference to his 3-day funeral. And that's, you know, that's kind of how they interface.
So there are references between characters. The three of you, even though each monologue is its own separate act.
Yes. Right. So in the study that we did, you know, we kind of created relationships that we might have had. For instance, you know, Mac might have known my daughter, for instance. I mean, that's not in the script, but that was part of the study that Brad's talking about, that we really had a chance to explore, you know, to explore the characters, to explore the interrelationships of the characters, which, you know, we made it up. But that made it fun, and that makes the performance and who we become much fuller. And
and it's very likely that in the context of the script, all three of us are at the funeral of Mac's grandmother, Nettie James, because it's part of my piece. Wendy's Virginia is, you know, a well-known member of the community. She would most certainly probably have been at that funeral. So all three of us, even though we don't interrelate in any dramatic sense, are in that same time and space.
Again, the name of the show is Three Viewings. It's a Sopris Theater Company production. Actually, three weekends this time, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday shows. The Friday and Saturday shows are at 7 o'clock. Again, streaming only. Then the Sunday matinees are at 2 o'clock. And unlike an in-person theater event, these times are sharp. We've all been there, right? It's Friday, Saturday.
Don't open the door for anybody on this
That's
one.
That's right. Friday and Saturday, February 19th and 20th, the 26th and 27th, and then March 5th and 6th. And then those Sunday matinee shows at 2 o'clock on February 21st and 28th and March 7th. Another something that's an event that's common in theater, of course, is the meet and greet afterward. And there is one of those available after each one of those shows, starting at 8:45 on Friday the 19th, Saturday the 27th, and then Sunday the 7th at 3:45. So it's an opportunity, it's a Zoom call for anyone that would like to chat with the cast, ask questions. You can't get your picture taken with a member of the cast. I guess you can take a screenshot of your Zoom screen, but you get the idea.
That's a great idea.
If you'd like to learn more, you can always call 947-8177, email svticketsales@coloradomtn.edu, and of course, the website showticks4u, showtix, the number four, the letter u.com. And just search there for Three Viewings. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and chat with the cast a little bit more. And we'll pick on Paige since she's been quiet so far when we come back to you. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon we're talking about Sopris Theater Company's production of Three Viewings, a streaming-only production. Recorded at the New Space Theater at Spring Valley, right, Brad?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. We did it on stage. It just didn't want anybody here to see us do it.
How did that, Paige, how did that feel, having been on that stage so many times over the years, and now all of a sudden you're just playing... Are you playing to the camera as if that is a member of the audience, or are you, you know, doing like they typically do those interviews on TV where you're just kind of focusing on something off in the distance?
We had an LED light that was placed right above the lens that we would play to, because Brad really wanted it to be an intimate, you know, he's intimate storytelling piece. So to keep focus right there, that's how we did that. It was certainly felt really great to go back up there, and it felt like, yeah, we're getting back into some sort of normal. I know everybody's sick of hearing the new normal, some sort of normal, right? But it was still a different experience to learn from. It was not what I had anticipated. You know, I wasn't thinking I was going to get those nerves that you would normally get with a full house, yet they still came. I didn't think I'd get post-show blues either, yet here comes Sunday and I am so sad it's over. So it's been different, you know, in the sense of the environment, but so much fun, and doing the table work that we've done, I really felt I got to really know my character and go places I hadn't gone to before as an actress. So it's awesome. I can't wait to watch it, but I'm also really nervous about it because I'm like, I want to see it before everybody else can, but that's okay. It's going to be great. Everybody did a great job, and the rehearsal process was definitely far from normal, but I enjoyed it so much, just one-on-one with Brad, and you know, we did a group rehearsal every Thursday together, and that was fun watching everybody grow in certain respects of their pieces. And you know, Wendy and Mike are fabulous anyway, they just kept getting better. But it was definitely different, but I enjoyed it because, you know, just like everybody else, we haven't been able to really go do anything. So even being able to do it in this capacity, it was a blessing. And I'm so sad it's over, and I can't wait to do something again. It was a nice distraction from everything going on. So
it's interesting, as I asked the question, of course it made sense to me at the time, and yet as I am listening to your answer, Paige, I'm thinking, well, of course people that are in theater can also do television. It's, you know, it's not that uncommon. I'm curious, Wendy and Mike, Paige, have any of you ever done TV before? And how did this compare to that experience?
I used to be a live host, Channel 16, when the ski company owned it. And then for a while, maybe for other iterations of that. It's quite a bit different from that, in that sort of, you know, live morning show type thing, you're yourself, and the people you're interviewing or you're trying to find out about them and reveal what they're doing and inform the public. I've done a little bit of other camera work, but this was different, and it's especially the emphasis, I think, was on the storytelling. And you know, we each have a very specific story that is, you know, somewhat on the fringe related to the other stories, but really deep character exploration for each one of us. There's a lot that goes on. And because we're fairly close to the camera and we rehearsed fairly close to the camera, you approach it, I think, in a different level, and in some ways a much more realistic level. I really miss the live interaction of having an audience, but this was very revelatory in many ways in terms of what the possibilities are under these different circumstances.
Did having the light that close to the camera, you know, that's the few times I have been on stage, that is one of the easiest distractions for me, is you stare at the lights and it kind of blinds you so that you don't really see how many people are in the audience. So did that help, Wendy, being able to kind of focus on that?
To focus on the red light?
Yeah, or the Paige said that you had the little LED light right above the lens.
Right, that was the red light, the red light syndrome.
Gotcha, okay.
It's like, yeah, and that was, it was frightening. It was absolutely frightening. I'm so used to doing theater with my body. So to have my head and the red light, you know, and the light so I couldn't see anyone anywhere, it was a new experience. And I think back in the 80s when I lived in LA for a short time and did a few film workshops was really the only time I had that kind of experience. And I've been on, you know, I've done interviews for shows over the years here, but as Mike said, that's a different thing because I can talk.
But what?
That's no problem. Yeah, chit-chatting and talking, but it was and I think as Mike said, you know, the interaction of the audience was definitely missing. You know, because they're funny things. Virginia is funny. She says funny things, but are they funny? Maybe. Don't know. There's no response. So it was, you know, it for me, it was frightening. It took me 7 takes. when we actually filmed. I mean, they were, some of them were short, but really to get into it and get the focus, it was, well, I think doing a monologue and doing that long of a monologue starts out as a, if that's a different kind of thing.
How long is each act?
About a half hour.
Okay. And so normally if this were a stage show and you actually had an audience in the theater, you'd do an act, you'd have a little break, you'd invite everyone to, you know, go into the lobby and get some refreshments, you know, support the theater club. So how do you handle that on video with this, the streaming version of the show?
Hmm. You know, I think if we did it live, we probably would do it in two acts. So we would do two pieces, take a break, and then do a third piece. Although, you know, it certainly could be done in an hour and a half, you know, and do it straight through. And that's what we're doing with the recording. You know, there'll be a short pause in between each piece, just to kind of help set the scene. If we were doing it live, there would be a very, very brief change of some scenic elements, but again, it's pretty minor.
The press release for the show refers to three viewings as three darkly comedic monologues. Obviously, you know, dark humor, I guess you would kind of expect when you're talking about funerals, and it sounds like certainly the show is set in a funeral home of some type. So the question I always ask when we're talking about theater, how would you rate the show if you were going to give it a motion picture rating?
There are a couple of times where there's a word that oftentimes makes film into R ratings. But there's not, you know, it's just, there are very brief references. There's nothing, you know, it's not like there's a lot of adult themes in it. You know, just there's some mature language. Okay. I wouldn't say, you know, an overabundance of that.
Okay.
So
would that happen to be a word derived from German meaning to strike?
Probably.
It's...
but it could be, I haven't researched that one.
Speaking of the 90s, again, three viewings is set in, the script was written in 1994. It's actually set, the Soper's Theater Company production is set in 1997. I'm referring to one of the first pieces of audio that I got in an email that I wanted to forward to other people. It's like a groundbreaking thing. I'm like, oh, I have to share this. And I, perhaps I'll share that, that audio clip with you a little bit later on, but
that's fun.
Yeah,
and you know, one other point that I would make about the show is that the three viewings, it's not a show about death. I mean, we discussed that it takes place in a funeral parlor, but you know, one of the pieces is a love story. One of the pieces is an opportunity for someone to really try and come to terms with events of the past and try and understand her relationship with her family. And the other is a story about someone, and is very much a love story in many ways too. You know, somebody trying to understand what she has understood her relationship with her husband to be for many, many years. And is surprised by some events that take place following his death. So it's, you know, it's they're human stories, and they're stories about what we want and need as human beings. And it so happens that they all take place in a funeral parlor, and then that helps, you know, motivate some of these searches. But it's you know, it's not a story about death. It's a story about life and trying to come to terms with that.
Again, Brad Moore, who you just heard, directs Three Viewings, a streaming only performance from Soper's Theater Company, streaming into your living room or wherever your computer happens to be. Friday and Saturday, February 19th and 20th, 26th and 27th, and March 5th and 6th at 7 p.m. And then the Sunday matinees, also three weekends, on the 21st and 28th of February, and then March 7th. Again, there is a post-show conversation with members of the cast available for all ticket holders. It'll be available on Zoom immediately following all of those shows, all three weekends, but alternating nights. So Friday, February 19th, Saturday, February 27th, and then at both of those at 8:45, right after the show again, and then on Sunday, March 7th at 3:45. So depending on what day of the week works for you, you can participate in that. And Brad, you said that was one of those things that you learned from Rogue's Gallery, was the fact that people miss the interaction with the actors.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's interesting because there's a chat feature available. And we did have one audience member try and chat during Rogue's Gallery, just, you know, hey, I really like that piece or whatever. But the most important thing that we learned is that the audience wants to be able to applaud or, you know if their laughter is being heard. And of course it's, you know, it's not. And yes, you can applaud. You know, I sit all by myself watching a computer screen on a streamed show and I'm laughing and applauding and all those things. But we want to be able to share that with the cast and crew. And we also just want to have that interaction of letting, it's about us knowing that we were sort of together in all of this, you know? I mean, one of the things, and it's why I know live theater will be back, same thing as concerts and athletic events, all that, is we're social creatures. And we want to be able to interact with each other, and the audiences and the actors and the technicians all want to have those moments together where we're in the same building being part of the same event. And this is as close as we can come to that, but we just learned that we want to, and as you said before, also the notion of being able to meet and greet, you know, cast after the show, things like that. We want to have those connections. So we put this in as an opportunity to try and help with that. Again, it doesn't replace anything. It's us trying to do this in a global pandemic. You know, go figure.
Before we got started today, Brad gave me that note about being able to meet the cast afterward, how the audience was looking forward to meeting the cast. And Mike jumped in immediately and said, and we are looking forward to meeting the audience as well. So it goes both ways. The other thing to kind of tie that whole conversation together, Brad, you know, Paige mentioned the whole idea of, you know, everybody is sick of hearing back to normal, the new normal, whatever the case may be. And yet, of course, every experience we have is advised by previous experiences we've had in the past, right? And be it theater or live shows, just doing business from day to day is no different. And so it'll be very interesting in 5 or 10 years to see what use of technology and what part, there have to be some positive parts of COVID-19, but, you know, what things we actually bring forward into the future that actually have a lasting positive impact on you know, not just theater and production and radio, but the world. So it'll be very interesting to see. Again, the show is three viewings. It's a Sopris Theater Company production, streaming only. You can get your tickets at showtixforyou.com. That's show, T-I-X, the number four, the letter U.com. You can search, of course, there. You can always call 947-8177. And as always, you can always email svticketsales@coloradomtn.edu. One final break. We'll come back and wrap things up in just a minute. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon, we're talking with Brad Moore, who directs Sopris Theater Company's production of Three Viewings. Again, it's a streaming-only show. I'll give you ticket information in just a couple minutes. It stars Mike Monroney, Paige Ulmer, and Wendy Perkins. Wendy, we talked, you know, I joke, I end up talking so much about the actual logistics and how the show comes together, I forget to talk about the actual content of the show. And based on what I've heard so far, three viewings is a reference to the fact that this show takes place in a funeral home. And you said that your character recently lost her husband. And I think Brad made a reference to she finds something out about her husband that she did not know before. I'm not sure if that's one of those spoilers we're not supposed to talk about or not, Brad, but
oh, we can talk about it.
It's apparent early on.
Okay.
Yeah.
In my monologue. Yes. It's just, it's, and then it builds and it builds and it builds and it builds. So I think, you know, that the range of emotions and the arc that my character, Virginia, takes in this monologue was challenging. It was challenging. She's a suburban housewife whose life has been, you know, pretty straightforward and simple. And suddenly everything that she thought was true isn't, until what's important, it becomes apparent, is still there. So, it's elusive. I'm not going to give anything away.
You did kind of go around the mulberry bush a couple times, but that's okay.
I didn't want to tell any, you know, because it's fascinating. And I think each of the three, you know, there's the Jeffrey Hatcher, the playwright, is just, it's brilliant. The way that he, you know, takes a piece from, you know, at the introduction, which can be playful, and then moving into, you know, all of these different human emotions and truths. And that's, and my character is very much goes through that. And I think with, you know, all of them, you know, ultimately they'll be okay, but it is, you know, and I think during this whole pandemic, people can relate because people are going through the spectrum of human emotions. And this show can really tap into, you know, what people are experiencing.
Paige, we didn't talk about your monologue at all.
I just want to echo what Wendy said. They're all very layered, very layered. And it can go from this really just fun moment to these really emotional moments. And that was one of my hardest things with this piece. I'm used to being a goof, you know, I just like that better. But I mean, I love this. I'm so glad I got to do it. And I want to, you know, continue on it. But it's like, I had to really not hide the vulnerability and let it in. So my character, her name's Mac, she's a drifter in Los Angeles. And her grandmother, who's 103 years old, has finally passed away. I mean, everybody's been waiting for it, and it finally happens. Well, we decided, you know, she hasn't been home in a long time. So she ends up having to take that journey back there. And she's going for a ring. Her grandmother's ring, which means something to her, but she ends up having so many revelations about the past and memories that she's repressed. And maybe it's not the ring that she wants or needs. So that's my little, in a nutshell, synopsis for you. And if Brad, you want to chime in, go ahead.
I'm looking at his body language, and I'm thinking that he thought you did okay. How did I call it?
Yep.
And Mike, we did delve a little bit into your character. Yeah. You're kind of the funeral director. I'm curious what order you are on stage.
I'm first.
You're first. Okay. So you kind of set the stage, if you will, maybe
right.
For the other two.
Yeah. It's really interesting. My story is a love story in many ways. My first line is "I love you," my last line of the piece is, I love you. And it's said to the same person, but there's so much that happens between the start, my first, I love you, very quiet, very small, but audible. And the last one. And I hinted it before that it takes place over many months and five different funerals, one of which is Nettie James, one of which is Ed Carpellotti, who is Wendy's character's husband. So those are things that are happening, but they're not all in the same time frame. One of the things I think that's really great about this show is I believe every character experiences some sort of epiphany or some life-changing, soul-searching moments and is a different person at the end of their monologue. I think that's amazing, and how Hatcher links it all together. And it was fun, without it saying so in the script, for us to explore what it really meant to be in Steubenville, Ohio in the 1990s. And we did quite a bit of research finding that the street names are actual street names. And I found a specific mortuary that I decided to make my mortuary. And I wasn't given a last name in the script, but I chose one and found one. And then just for fun, searched on Facebook. And there actually was somebody named that on Facebook with no connection to the mortuary. But it was creating a world out of just the bare bones clues that Hatcher gave us in the script. And it's just, I'll echo what Wendy and Paige said. The script is extremely well written and well put together.
I'm from a small town in Ohio. And I think to add on to what Mike was saying, even looking at the house that I created, I could create the house visually. So as I was walking through the hall towards the stairs, I could see the hall through the stairs, which I think is good to do with any show, but I could relate to it easily because I'm from a small town in Ohio.
So fascinating. Going to be such an interesting show, another interesting show. So let's talk a little bit about the post show. Again, it's a moderated conversation after each, not each one of the shows, but after three different shows. I'll tell you more about those in a little bit. And it's moderated by Jesse Mensalve, who, of course, you know, we've talked to, I think, thousands of times over the last 10 years or so. But he will actually be moderating the show from his apartment in Brooklyn. So there you go. That's something that we probably wouldn't have been doing if it weren't for COVID.
Before, could you?
Yeah.
Who'd have thought of that? Yeah. Well, you know, it's one of those things. I happened to be chatting with Jesse, who graduated from CMC, from the theater program, and also from the new media program. And he just, you know, he was feeling very homesick and missing his theater family, and we started talking about, you know, where things were going and what should be going on, and we just decided that we'd make this happen, and he could do it from his apartment in Brooklyn. So, you know, I mean, why not? You know, I mean, it's a chance for him to be a part of this, and you know, and Gabe, I think you and I talked about this the last time we were talking about the season and all of that. When I put this season together, it was with the notion of getting people the opportunity to work, you know, just to explore their craft. I mean, we're all tired of sitting in our, you know, in our houses, our apartments, our bedrooms, and, you know, streaming an occasional show or, you know, watching whatever. We want to be able to work, and yeah, we'd like to do it in front of a live audience, but we want to maintain our skills and our craft. And so the opportunity of really getting people involved, you know, with Rogues Gallery had a cast of nine, and I had Brendan Cochran come in and direct that, and to get these three amazing actors together on this piece has been just, you know, it's been a joy, and what a wonderful gift to all of us to get to work together during a time when we're just not getting to do that, and to work in a way that we haven't had that opportunity of really, you know, getting so close. And you know, here's Jesse, who's in New York and just wishing he could do something. And why not? You know, he can join us. We'd love to have him here. It's about getting us all together and giving us a chance to just create in a whole different atmosphere.
Getting to use our brains.
Yeah. Yeah. For those of you that have brains, I mean, I don't know what that's like.
I was going to say, you're giving me a lot of credit there. And speaking of Jesse, let's not forget Paige also, of course, a graduate from the theater program at CMC. And
yeah,
once you can never leave, right? Just ask Mike and Wendy, you know, they've been.
That's right. And you might even get hired there like I did.
Yeah, I mean, work at CMC. Yeah. Well, and, you know, Mike has done one other show with us. He was in the other place that we took to the National Festival in Gettysburg. But this is the first chance we've had to coax Wendy into doing a show for Soper's Theater Company. And I'm thrilled. You know, like I told you at the very beginning, Wendy and I have worked together for many, many, many years. And I just think she's one of the most talented actresses I know. And so to be able to have her come in and really, you know, just be a part of this whole process, it's just a joy. And it's what theater is about. It's about this family, and it's about us being together and exploring and getting through things together. I mean, you know, without our theater family, most of us would not be where we are today. So, you know, let's just embrace that in a way that we can.
It sounds perhaps overly dramatic, but I would like to think in some ways it was a life-saving experience to do this in terms of making our lives in COVID worth something.
Yes.
And for me, that's what this was. It made me feel like I still was a viable, creative entity in this valley and in terms of doing what we love to do.
And it's opened up a whole new medium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll do this again. Maybe I won't be as nervous.
She said it. I have a recording, Brad.
Okay.
So she can't go back on it now.
Nope. One of us.
Welcome to the club. Again, the show is Three Viewings. It's a Soper's Theater Company production directed by Brad Moore, starring Mike Monroney, Wendy Perkins, Paige Ulmer. 3 weekends for this show. Again, streaming only. Friday and Saturday, February 19th and 20th, 26th and 27th, and then March 5th and 6th at 7 p.m. sharp. Then Sunday matinees on February 21st, 28th, and March 7th, also at 2 p.m. sharp, with the post-show moderated conversations with Jesse all the way from Brooklyn. Those happen Friday, Saturday, and Sunday through all 3 weekends. So Friday the 19th, Saturday the 27th, and then Sunday the 7th. At 8:45 on Friday and Saturday, and then at 3:45 on Sunday the 7th. Again, that'll be a Zoom call that all the ticket holders will be invited to. Again, if you'd like to buy tickets, it's 947-8177. You can email svticketsales@coloradomtn.edu, or it's simple, just online, showtix4u.com, showtix, the number 4, the letter u.com. Any final thoughts? Anybody?
I just want one word about what a brilliant director Brad Moore is.
Oh, jeez.
Yep. It has been such a pleasure working with you again, Brad. Thank you.
Well, thank you. It's been a real...
Reaching out and making me say, okay, I'll learn 17 pages of a monologue.
Yes, Brad.
Although I will say that initially... She said, absolutely not. I can't memorize that. And I said, okay, so you don't have to memorize it. She said, yes. And then she memorized it anyway. So there you go.
Well, in the future, let me just say, I did pick up a teleprompter last summer. So if the need arises, something could be worked out.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the best. Break a leg. Talk to you guys soon.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
You've been listening to KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30. It's another reason we are the most listened to radio station from Rifle to Aspen.